Okay, everybody, good morning.
Good morning.
We'll start. We'll do lesson number 5, which is more about holidays and festivals. Okay, depending on how much time we have, we might do some review questions from last week or, you know, other weeks. So, anyway, the first question today starts with, what do people do on New Year's Eve? Okay, so please answer.
New Year's Eve is called Omisoka, which means the last day of the year. And Omisoka is a very important day to wrap up the passing year and to prepare for the coming new year. In order to welcome New Year's God, it's called Toshigami. So we clean the house, people clean their house and prepare Kadomatsu, Shimekazari, Osechi Ryori, and Karami Mochi. They are all for a ritual purification. And after completion of their New Year's preparations, we usually eat dinner together. And then after that, stay up late by watching TV and eating ear-crossing soba but with noodles. And around noon, midnight, we listen to the Joyamu Kane, which are the 108 temple spell, which represent the 108 bono, worldly desires. So these are the kind of things that we do on New Year's Eve.
Okay, good. Can you tell, what is Kagami Mochi?
Kagami Mochi is rice cake, a round rice cake. We usually put two rice cake on top of it, one on top of the other.
And, okay, two rice cakes, one on top of the other.
One
okay.
The other. And it usually prepared just before the New Year's holidays.
Okay. And do people eat it?
It's kind of offering to New Year's God. And we usually eat after maybe first week of the year is over.
Right, so people eat it, but not until after.
Until
after New Year's, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's too kind of round, flat, a little bit. Looks like bread, though. If you ever look kind of, you ever made bread, it looks kind of like two bread doughs put together, kind, and used, right? It looks like. What else? Is it just plain?
Just plain, but we sometimes eat, put in
When you decorate it, is it plain? Other decoration?
You might be able to put down mandarin orange on top of it, or put some kazari, it's a fern, dry ferns on top of it.
Okay, yeah, I've seen most common is dried orange, mikan, right? Tangerine orange. Okay, good. Let's ask him the same question. What do people do on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve is a special day for people who wrap up the past and prepare for the new.
Okay.
And after completing preparations for New Year Day, such as cooking, house cleaning, and writing New Year cards, the family members tend to get together for dinner, as well as toshikoshi soba, hot buckwheat noodle, and they stay late at night to listen to the bell of the temple nearby. Actually, some people go there to chime the bell, and at some big temples like Zojoji in Tokyo, people get together, including the young people, who enjoy the New Year countdown.
Okay. Where is it? They go to Seoul's
countdown ceremony.
Right. And what temple?
Zojoji in Nato Ward.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with there. Good. Tell me, what is Kohaku Utagassen?
Kohaku Utagassen is a popular TV program. Normally starts around 7:30 p.m. to 11:45 on New Year's Eve, broadcasted by NHK program. And many singers, both men and women, compete. And viewers ratio is quite high, and it has become the Japanese custom to see the TV program. And while talking about the passing year's event, what kind of songs became popular, etc.
Okay. All right. Good. That's okay. Two things. So this Utagassen is, you know, it's a contest between men and women. I think the point is, you said that there is men, both men and women sing and compete, but it's not just two teams, but it's men against the women. So men compete against the women. Women compete against the men. It's a competition between men and women. So there's different ways you can say that. Also, you know, men wear white and ladies wear red because the kohaku means red and white, which are happy colors in Japan. So those are maybe some other points that maybe would give a nice explanation. Okay, good. What do people do on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve is an important day for the Japanese because January 1st is the beginning of the year, and New Year's Eve is for Japanese the day for preparation and welcome the New Year's Day.
Okay, so day for preparation and day for preparation and welcoming the New Year.
Day for preparation and welcoming the new year.
Okay.
Most Japanese are by this day on holiday, and on New Year's Eve they finished housework such as house cleaning, shopping, and preparation of special. Special New Year's meal, osechi, yori. And in the evening, the family eats dinner together and enjoy special TV programs such as variety shows, movies, or singing competitions on TV.
Okay.
And at midnight, they eat buckwheat noodles in hot broth to welcome a new year, and listening to the 108 chimes rung at nearby temples.
Okay, good. Why do people eat soba? Why do people eat buckwheat noodles?
Buckwheat noodles, soba in Japanese, and it is thinly and long and thin, and it symbolizes the longevity. And soba.
How does it symbolize longevity?
Because soba is long.
Yes.
So it symbolizes longevity.
Okay.
Besides, soba means close in Japanese. So people eat soba feeling the new year is coming close.
Okay, right. So in Japanese, soba, the noodles, is the same word, the sound for close.
Japanese soba, the noodle.
In Japanese, soba means noodles, but it also means close.
Japanese soba means noodles.
Japanese soba. Okay, try again. In Japanese,
soba means noodles and also close.
Right, so it means what the new year is close by.
And
the New Year is close by.
The New Year is close by.
I've also heard it means be close to your family and friends.
There's a
closeness there. Does anyone know another reason why people might eat soba? Do you know?
One other explanation I gave was it is easily cut. So we can forget the past misfortunes and happiness.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that. That's new. Does anyone know? I have heard soba brings good luck or money. Do you know?
Yes.
You know why? Tell it.
I don't know.
Thank
why
you. She's the microphone lady.
I don't know why, but they bring good luck and longevity.
Oh, okay. Well, does anyone know about making gold? Making gold craft? I heard. Do you know? Go ahead. Yeah, use the microphone. Yeah, he knows. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
On the TV, I saw what that using soba, the scattered gold or gem, you can gather that like this.
Right. I think they make like a dough. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not just the soba powder, but it's like a maybe like a dough
paste.
And they make it from sobako. Yeah. And so when they any gold is precious, so they don't want to lose. So when they're making gold or making carving or etching, they use the soba paste and they collect the gold and then they can reuse it. So that's also, I heard, maybe, I don't know, something else that they say you can. This soba is also because it means many, kind of. Okay, what do people do on New Year's Eve?
First of all, New Year's Eve is an important holiday for Japanese to welcome and prepare for the New Year. So people clean up their houses and prepare for New Year's special food called osechi yori. And then later in the evening, people eat toshikoshi soba, which is a brown noodle.
And buckwheat noodle.
Buckwheat noodle. Then some people go to temples to listen to the bell of the 108 chimes of the, listen to chimes.
Okay, listen to the chimes of the 108 bells, or listen to the ringing of the 108 bells. Yeah, so you could say they listen to the chimes or the ringing. Okay, right. So they listen to the ringing of the 108 bells.
They listen to the chimes of the 108 bells around midnight of the New Year's Eve.
Right, okay, yeah, because we have a question that Joyo no Kane is number 899. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. Okay, can you tell me what is osechi ryori?
Osechi ryori is a New Year's special food, and people prepare for New Year's special food before the New Year, and New Year's food include a wide variety of ingredients such as rolled kelp, fish, and meat, and each ingredient have happy meanings. For example, rolled kelp in Japanese is kobumaki, and the kobu sounds like yorokobu, which means happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also these ingredients are arranged on a beautiful rockaware boxes. Beautiful.
Oh. Okay, good. Yeah, that's fine. Good. Okay, maybe what we'll do, yeah, thank you. We'll go to maybe this next question then. So, okay, you want to do New Year's?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You're all right?
Question two, okay.
Yeah, everyone's kind of saying the same thing, and okay. So question two is, again, this is probably most people might be saying the same thing, but we'll let everybody practice. What is the significance of festivals for Japanese?
Japanese have been rice farmers for a long time,
So we pray to the God for rich harvest, and after harvest, we gave thanks to the God by holding a festival. It is the origin of the festival, but nowadays people don't care about that. And we just enjoy the festival, and they are excited in the festival. So, typical festival in Tokyo is Sanja Festival, Sanja Matsuri Festival in Asakusa. It is full of energy and attractive, very attractive, even to the foreigners. There are many, many festivals across Japan.
Okay, good. Yeah, I didn't want to laugh, but yeah, basically it was, a lot of these are, what, harvest festivals in the fall, and then planting festivals in the spring, so they were kind of related to religion, but nowadays people just do it because it's fun,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And so a lot of these festivals, like Gion Matsuri, brings in lots of money, right? So people, they obviously do it because it's a tourist event, and it's a money-making event, so now it's just kind of a fun thing to do. Good. What is omikoshi?
Omikoshi is a portable shrine. During the festival, many shrines send the offer the their own portable shrine to the people, mm-hmm. And the people carry on the shoulders 20 to 30 people shoulder them.
Yeah, and people carry what? Can say that again. People carry?
Carry the shrine.
Shrine, yeah, okay.
On their shoulders. Mm-hmm. And many people watch that and they are excited because the temporary enshrined god is inside the portable shrine.
Okay.
So they can meet the god on the road.
Right, so the god is carried around the community, yeah. Right? Good, okay. What is the significance of festivals for the Japanese?
For the Japanese, festivals are usually related to Shintoism, Buddhism, history, and other local customs. For example, the one related to Shintoism, there is a famous festival in Kyoto called Aoi Matsuri, which is held in May. And the example of the one related to Buddhism is the one called Flower Festival, which is held on 8th of April, okay. Which is the birth of Buddha. And about the history, there is a festival called Takeda Matsuri in Shinano area, which is in Nagano Prefecture. And it is about a very famous historical lord called Takeda Shingen.
Okay. Right, isn't Jidai Matsuri kind of a history one too?
Oh, yes. Jidai Matsuri in Kyoto is also related to history, which is held in October,
yeah. Okay, good. What is the significance? What is the significance? Oh, no, not yet. This one, I don't have any more extra questions. Ready to answer? Number two, what is the significance of festivals for the Japanese?
Festival in Japanese is Matsuri. It's a noun form of verb Matsuru, which means worship. So I think it's a traditional Japanese festival typically associated with shrine, and it's a Shinto and it's shrine. So gods are believed to appear, come out on the material world. So those festivals tend to welcome, thank, and worship the gods for good harvest and happy life. And each region and town has a local festival based on the history, culture, and folklore, and so on. So I think festival across Japan are all good attraction for tourists. So just visit those festivals, not only just watch but also to participate in those festivals is a very enjoyable attraction for tourists.
Right, okay, so besides just religion, is also the attraction and the fun.
It's fun.
Good. Okay, the same question. And this one, I don't. There's lots of questions I could ask, but I think this one will just pass by. What is the significance of festivals to the Japanese?
The Japanese traditional festivals are mainly associated with Shintoism and Shinto gods. And it is believed that during the festival period, those gods visit to this material world. So people would like to welcome and entertain those gods. But also there are Buddhism-related festivals.
Buddhist-related
festivals, and the typical example is Obon Festival.
Okay, good. All right, let's just have heard this. What is your answer for this? What is the significance of festivals?
In Japan, festivals are held throughout the year all over Japan. And there are many different types according to the region, but typically the festival is carried by the participants.
Okay,
typically festivals are characterized by participants carrying portable shrines and portable shrines or festival floats.
Okay.
And holding in the town. And originally, going around the town.
Okay.
Originally, the festival is dedicated to the Shinto god to pray and thank for a good harvest. But today, it is mainly for tourist attraction.
Okay. Right. All right. Good. Yeah. There's, as I say, they're both. The one to pray for good harvest both in the spring and in the fall, right? Because aren't some of the spring festivals for what you call planting festivals? I think when they plant the rice or the, you know, before that maybe there's some, the May is a popular time for festivals. And so I think that's rice planting time. Good. What is the significance of festivals for Japanese?
Traditionally, Japanese festivals have association with the Shinto shrines, and ancient people were believed that God visits the festivals, so people held festivals in order to entertain and welcome the God to the material world. And but today, many people have nice time enjoying the festival, not thinking of religious meaning. Mm. And today, many large-scale festivals, such as Gion Matsuri in Kyoto and Sanja Matsuri in Asakusa, mm-hmm. are also known as tourist attractions, and many people enjoy those festivals.
Good. Okay. All right. Good. I think that sounds fine. Just again, I think, as I say, this isn't in the model answer, but you know, saying as you did that festivals are for fun or they're kind of like a tourist attraction and a yearly event, and so people enjoy just the festival because it's fun and not so much because of the religious meaning nowadays. Okay. Good. All right, I'll start with question three. What are the three largest festivals in Japan? And I'm not sure what you're going to answer, so what is your answer for this?
Yeah, there are many opinions about that. The first two will be the Gion Matsuri Festival in Kyoto, and then the Tenjin Matsuri Festival in Osaka. But the third one is a little bit difficult to say because many people say many things. Some people say Kanda Matsuri in Tokyo, it is the Saban. But some other people say the Sanji Matsuri, also in Tokyo, is very famous and should be the first one.
Third one, okay. Okay. What about when is Sanji Matsuri?
Sanji Matsuri in May. It's held in May in Asakusa area.
Okay. What about Kanda Matsuri?
Kanda Matsuri. It's
like neighborhood. They're the same neighborhood, yeah.
It's also held in May in Kanda area. But it's, I think it's alternate years with Sanno Matsuri.
Right.
In Akasaka area.
Right, good. Yeah, the Kanda Matsuri and Sanno Matsuri are held every other year, so if 1 year Kanda Matsuri is held and the next year Sanno Matsuri is held, they're every alternate years. Okay, good. And they're what, May?
May.
They're also May, I think.
Sanno Matsuri is held in June.
June, and the Kanda Matsuri is May.
May.
I think third week or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. What are the three largest festivals in Japan?
It's very difficult to pick three largest festivals in Japan, so I will say the ones in my opinion.
Okay.
First, the Gion Festival in Kyoto held throughout July is very impressive, with floats, parades, and so on.
Okay.
Second, the Sanji Festival in Tokyo in May is very active and exciting. And people shout, jump, and go around, and it's like a tomato throwing festival in Spain. And third, the Tanabata Festival in Sendai, which is located in northern part of Japan, and seen on the day in beginning of August, is rather quiet for a festival, but people enjoy the decorations and the atmosphere here with appreciating hearts.
Okay, tell me what is Tanabata?
Tanabata means seventh night, which means 7th of July. But in new calendar, it is around 6th or 7th of August, but it was originally in 7th of July.
Okay.
And it's a star festival originally, and from that festival, people started to decorate many things on bamboos and other things.
Right, to decorate, putting decorations
on bamboos.
Right. Okay. And what's the story behind Tanabata? You weren't here, right?
Oh, yes, I was here. It was about two lovers who were separated and who were allowed to meet only once a year. And these two people, the lovers, are the stars, Vega and Altair, and they're separated by Milky Way. And people started to make this story in China, and this story came to Japan.
Hmm. Okay, right, yeah. So the two lovers separated by the Milky Way, they were separated because they didn't work, so they can only meet once a year on Tanabata, the star day, July 7th. Good. Okay, what do you think of the three largest festivals in Japan?
First of all, I do not understand what the largest means in this case. It's just translation of Sandai Matsuri.
Well, probably. Or I'm not sure. Again, there's all kinds of interpretation. So probably the most people, I don't know, there's all kinds of things. Which festival makes the most money? Which one's the biggest length of time? So it probably, I wouldn't think too I wouldn't think too deeply. I think Gion Matsuri and Sanja Matsuri probably have the top two. Then the third, everybody has a different opinion about. So whatever, you know, probably, you know, if you mention anything that's famous, it's probably okay. As she mentioned Tanabata, you mentioned, you know, Kanda Matsuri. Yeah, pretty famous. If you mention something kind of small in your local neighborhood, it might not be a big one, even though it's fun for you.
So it's still very hard to say which are the three biggest festivals in Japan. Some people say, of course, it's Gion Matsuri in Kyoto, and Tenji Matsuri in Osaka, and Kanda Matsuri and Sando Matsuri in Tokyo. Largest festival. But others say that the Sanjo Matsuri in Asakusa, Tokyo should be included. Any festival should be included, depending on who you ask. And I think new trend is Yosakoi Matsuri. I think it's born in Kochi. It's now getting popular, and a lot of Yosakoi Matsuri are held in across Japan, all over Japan, and now National Yosakoi Festival is held to decide the number one performance in Japan, in Kochi. So there are many festivals, you could say that the largest, and people are boast of local festival. Mm-hmm. This is number one for people.
Okay, and Yosakoi?
Yosakoi?
What is that?
It's like a procession, it's dancing, it's performance. So it's catching, it's getting popular among young people, young generation especially. Have you seen the people dancing around the street in procession, moving like a parade?
Yes. I haven't seen that. I've seen the Okinawa Fest, it's a dance, right? The Isa type of
just
thing.
Just like an aori, it's a procession. But it's getting popular.
Okay, well, is Awadori a festival?
Yes.
It's also a festival, right? They call it Awadori, but it's really a festival, right? Good. What are the three largest festivals in Japan?
There are several opinions, but the major opinions are probably two. The one is this type of combination, Sanja in Tokyo, Gion in Kyoto and Tenjin in Osaka. Another opinion is Sando in Tokyo, Aoi in Kyoto, and Tenjin in Osaka. In both cases, Tenjin is nominated. Mm. And the former combination is probably categorized as a large scale, and lots of people, sometimes millions of people, are spectators. Mm. Excuse me. And the latter one is a traditional festival where people are dressed in costumes of Heian period imperial court style.
The Jidai Matsuri?
Also, Jidai Matsuri.
Aoi Matsuri.
Sando and Tenjin.
Okay. All right, good. That's right. They dress in Heian period costume. The other one, they dressed in costumes through the ages, right? Good. Okay. Let's go to her. I don't want you to answer, but what three did you choose? Just give me the names of the three.
Okay, so I would choose Gion Matsuri in Kyoto.
Okay.
And Sanjo Matsuri in Tokyo.
Okay.
And the other unique one is Nebuta Matsuri in Aomori.
Okay. And what three did you choose?
I chose Sanjo Matsuri in Tokyo.
Okay.
And Gion Matsuri in Kyoto.
Uh-huh.
And Tenjin Matsuri in Osaka.
Okay.
As this book mentioned.
Okay, yeah. So, good. All right, so those are the three. Yeah, there's what? There's three big festivals in Tohoku.
The three big festivals in Tohoku are Nebuta Matsuri in Aomori, August, and Kanto Matsuri in Sendai. Akita. Sorry. And Tanabata Festival in Sendai.
Right, those are the three.
All are held in summer.
Right, I think they're all held in August, right? Sometimes. They're kind of tours to go to the three big Tohoku festivals, so there's tours for like a week that go to each place. So they're usually held pretty close to each other. Okay, good. All right, what? They kind of jump around. Hatsumode all of a sudden, all right? After New Year's Eve, we go to Hatsumode. What is Hatsumode?
Hatsumode is the first visit to temple or shrines of the year. And many people go to shrines or temples during the New Year holidays to pray for the happiness of the year. And many temples and shrines are open overnight on the New Year's Eve. So, and many people go out
At midnight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so I think, can you say that the shrines are open?
Overnight.
Probably all night.
Yeah. All night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. What is Hatsumode?
Hatsumode is the first visit to a shrine or temple of the New Year. The people go to a shrine or temple to pray for a particular purposes, such as protection against illness or disease, and success in examinations, business, and marriages. Mm-hmm. And some people buy omikuji and other good luck charms.
Okay, good. Where are popular places for people to go?
The popular places to go are Sensoji Temple and the major shrine in Tokyo, and also in Kamakura, the Tsuru ga Oka Hachimangu is also famous for many people to go.
Okay. Yeah, those are popular places, so that's why I answered the question. Where is the most popular shrine people visit?
The most popular shrine in Japan is the Meiji Shrine in Tokyo, which has the number of prayers during the first 3 days of the New Year holidays is over 3 million people.
Right. Does everyone know that? There's 3 million people in 3 days. So, I don't know how they can count. I laugh because how can they count them, you know? So anyway, Meiji Shrine is the most popular place for Hatsumode. Then the other ones are also popular. But 3 million people in 3 days. That's. Have you ever been there?
Yes, many times.
Oh, okay.
But now it's Ugaoka Hachimangu, as she said.
Yeah, you go there.
It's
very close. Yeah, it's in your neighborhood. Yeah, I used to live near Meiji. I would go after midnight, because in the daytime it's just impossible. So you go 2 in the morning or something. Okay, good. Tell me just what the basic question. What is Hatsumode?
Hatsumode is the first visit in the year to shrines and temples, and people pray to the god or Buddha for their wishes, such as good luck in the year, good health in the year. As I said, the most popular shrine in Japan is Meiji Shrine, and followed by Kawasaki Taishi, Tsurugaoka Hachimangu, Sumiyoshi Taishi in Osaka, Atsuta Jingo in Nagoya, or many shrines. Mm-hmm. Has the visitors over 2 million prayers during the past 3 days.
Right, over a million, maybe over 2 million, but actually Meiji has but about three. So maybe you say maybe they have over a million. They have millions of visitors.
Millions of visitors.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. What is Hatsumode?
Hatsumode means the first visitor shrine or temple during the New Year's holiday. And Hatsu means during the New Year's holiday. Hatsu meaning the first, and Mode meaning the first visitor special place. And people throw money to offertory boxes and which are placed in front of the shrine. And they pray for longevity, wealth, health, and other wishes to the gods.
Okay, good. Yeah, there's a question. What is Saisenbako?
A Saisenbako is an offertory box, as I said.
Uh-huh.
And it's a wooden box for beneficial benefits.
And how much money do people throw in there?
Usually coins, but some people throw in some like 1,000 yen bills and or even more.
Okay, what is a coin they throw in?
Each coin has meaning. Mm-hmm. So five yen is like goen, like some relationship means relationship.
Right, so to have a relationship. So the word for 5 yen is goen, but goen also means
yes.
To have a good, a nice relationship, right? So yeah, so we're kind of lucky. It's not like ichiman has a real meaning. We'd have to throw ichimayen in there, right? So goen is pretty cheap, right? Okay, good. What is Hatsumode?
Hatsumode is the first shrine visit of the new year. People go to temples instead. Some people go to temples instead, but most people go to shrines. Many people visit shrines within the first 3 days of the new year because most people are off work and they will have time to go to shrines. And people pray for long life and happy life and buy Emma. How do you say it? Wooden tablet.
Wooden tablet?
Tablet. And,
did you say votive?
Votive.
You can say that. Votive wooden tablet.
And Omamori charms and an arrow. And there's common practice to buy omikuji. It's a written oracle that will tell you what kind of year this new year is going to be. If it predicts bad luck, you just those omikuji, tie them onto the tree branches
mm-hmm.
so that this bad prediction will not come true.
Okay, if it's good, what do you do?
Some people still hang on, tie onto the branches, but some people bring them, put in a purse also.
Right, okay.
Yeah, those kind of, this is about what Hatsumode is.
Right, okay, good.
Question?
Yeah, okay, well tell me more. Emma, what is Emma? Explain to me more.
Explain to me more. It's a wooden tablet on which some white horses are drawn on the tablet because it's very symbolized that it's a sacred horse. And sometimes people write some wishes on the tablet and hang them onto the tree branches on the precincts of the shrines and temples.
Okay, and why is there a horse?
I forgot. Why is horse? It's offering.
Well, what does anybody know? She knows? I think she knows.
There is a picture of a horse on Emma because people used to offer a real horse in the past. But today they offer picture tablet with horse.
Yeah, we're lucky now, right? Yeah, that's I heard traditionally or long ago, I don't know the real history, but supposedly when they made an offering, people would bring a real horse to the tent, to the shrine. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's not real practical nowadays, especially. You know, how many horses do you have? Huh?
No horses.
Yeah, okay. So they brought the horses originally to the temple shrine, and then nowadays it's just the symbol of the symbol with the horse. Good. Okay, what is Hatsumode?
Hatsumode is a first visit to a shrine or temple of the year on New Year holidays, and people pray for happiness, health, and success for the year. And lots of people go to a shrine and temple, and for example, Meiji Shrine is said to have over 3 billion people on the first 3 days. And yeah, that's all.
Oh, okay. People were mentioning about Omikuji. What is that?
Omikuji is a kind of lottery. It means there is a box, and inside of the box are small rolled papers are there, and when people push a coin into the box, then some paper it can be obtained, and which has a prediction of that year's fortune, very good luck, normal bad luck, very bad luck. Mm. And especially when people have unfortunate results, the custom is to tie the papers on trees, bunks.
Branches. We would just tie them on trees. It's okay. Just people tie them on trees.
And in the case of good luck, good case, some people take them away, but others tie them on trees.
Right. Okay. Sure. So you either leave it or take it, depending on. But usually, bad luck, you want to leave it. Right. Good. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
In most cases, people go to shrines for Hatsumode, but the modern answer says temple as well. Mm. So I wonder, if I received a follow-up question, is there any rule about a shrine or a temple? I wonder how I should respond.
Okay, but your question is, I'm sorry.
Hatsumode's case, like she commented, Sensoji, visit. But in the case of Sensoji, there is Asakusa Shrine. Mm. Normally we think shrines are the places for Hatsumode. But some cases, temples as well.
Well, yeah, the Narita-san is popular. So, I think, I don't think there's any rule. You go to where you want to go. And so I think you can say shrines and temples are fine, because Sensoji is really popular. If you've been there, it's really crowded. So that's an example. So temples and shrines are fine, I think. Okay. All right. Good. Hanami? Should we go to Hanami? Okay. I know we've talked about this before. So anyway, just... To me, like Hanami, it says it's cherry blossom viewing, but often, in most cases nowadays, it means a cherry blossom picnic. Because I think, was it last week? I can't remember, when did flower viewing become popular? Remember the question, and then it was first plums, and now it's cherry blossom. But the idea of flower viewing is literal, but most people assume, Hanami means like a cherry blossom festival or a picnic, so something like that is maybe actually nice to add in there. So sometimes the parties are held, the people hold picnics under the trees, but normally if you go to Hanami, not everybody, but it normally means going on a picnic. So anyway, that's just my suggestion of things you might, you know, want to add to make the answer a little bit more tourist friendly. Okay, so what is hanami?
Hanami is cherry blossom viewing. In Japan, people love to see cherry blossoms in spring, and when they are in full bloom, they go to see the cherry blossom and have picnic under the cherry trees. Cherry blossoms can be viewed from the end of March to the beginning of April, according to the region all over Japan.
Okay, well, all right, so the cherry blossom can be viewed at the end of March and the beginning of April
in
Honshu area, right, okay, mostly in, you know, Kansai, Kanto areas. Okay, yeah, that's, you know, be careful, you know, the hanami season is different depending on the region, but the end of March, beginning of April is, well, Tokyo, but also Kansai and most of Honshu is probably around pretty close. Kyushu's a little earlier and Tohoku's a little later. Okay, good. What is hanami?
Hanami is a cherry blossom picnic. And when during the springtime, when the cherry blossoms are in full bloom beautifully, people go to parks and have picnics under beautiful cherry trees. And it is usually done between families, friends, and colleagues of the companies.
Okay, good. So probably cherry blossoms, when cherry blossoms are in full bloom, beautifully, so that was, I don't know where to put that. When cherries blossom beautifully in the spring, okay, but when they blossom full bloom beautifully, what did you say? The beautifully didn't work. Did you write it? No. Okay. So when cherries are at full bloom, yeah, beautifully does not work. Okay. Just kind of remember that. But yeah, when cherry blossoms bloom, everyone likes to include this full bloom, but just, you know, when people go to cherry blossom picnics when the cherry blossoms bloom, it's okay. Or when they are in full bloom, but many times you don't make it. You're a little too early, a little too late, so when cherry blossoms bloom, it's more general. Okay, why do Japanese like cherry blossoms?
Japanese people like cherry blossoms for many reasons. First of all, the petals of cherry flowers are so cute and just look beautiful.
Okay.
And also secondly, the short lifespan of cherry blossoms remind us of short lives of ours.
Okay, reminds us of short lives of ourselves.
Ourselves.
Okay.
And also, the cherry blossoms could tell us.
Yeah.
Okay. And the cherry blossoms could tell us that the long winter was over and the new spring comes.
Yeah.
And also it is a time, the new term of school and company starts.
And new time of school.
New time of school.
New term of, well, okay, spring is the time of the school, beginning of the school year.
Spring is the beginning of the school year and the new term for the business.
Oh, okay, new fiscal year for the business. And a time when people sometimes join companies, start new jobs, is in spring. Right. Of course, this is for Tokyo, Kanto people. Okay, good. Yeah, people have trouble with this. It reminds us of the lives of a short or whatever, but it reminds us of our own short lives, maybe. So cherry blossoms remind us of our own short lives. It's an easy, compact way to say this. So yeah, there's several reasons. She gave about four good examples. So, you know, the end of, you see cherry blossoms and think, oh, spring has finally come, winter has ended. People start the school year and new jobs then, and they remind us of our own short lives because cherry blossoms only bloom for about, what, 2 weeks? Good. Okay. What is hanami?
Hanami is cherry blossom viewing. People enjoy the cherry blossoms with their colleagues, friends, and relatives. It depends on this district, but in Tokyo, they enjoy them in late in March or early in April. Mm-hmm. But in the northern part of Japan, Hokkaido, it might be mid-May. Mm-hmm. So it depends. People love cherry blossom because the blossoms are very beautiful. And at the same time, the daypall in a week, daypall in a week or so. So people, it reminds us of their own short lives. And also new, the school beginning the new term, and the companies start the new fiscal year.
Okay. Are all the cherry blossoms the same?
No, there are many kind of cherry blossoms. But the most famous one, which we love, is Yoshino cherry, Somei Yoshino, which was newly grown in Edo, in a village of Edo, about 200 years ago, and it spread throughout Japan because it's very beautiful.
Okay. What other kinds are there?
Yamazakura, which is the original one in the mountains.
Okay.
It's not so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, they look a little pale.
And Yaezakura, which is the petals. There are many, many petals. Not 5 or 6, but 20 or so.
Yeah, we would call it multi-petal cherry blossoms. Some people say double blossom. I haven't really looked, but some people say double blossom cherry blossom, double blossom cherry blossoms, or multi-petal cherry blossoms.
Multi-petal cherry blossom.
Yeah.
Double blossom.
Double petal. Yeah, that's the Isaac. So they have like multiple petal on one blossom. Okay? Good. And those are probably the main ones, right? Good. Okay. Good. Where are some popular places for cherry blossom viewing in Tokyo?
In Tokyo, Ueno Park, in central part of Tokyo, is very famous. So many people crowd during the blooming time. And also, Shinjuku Gyoen is very famous. But unfortunately, over there, it is forbidden to eat and drink a lot.
Technically.
Technically.
Ichio, ne?
And in west part of Tokyo, Inogashira Park is very famous, and many family members gather together, and students also have parties over there.
Right, and that also is technically no drinking too, right? But I won't say anything. Yeah, good, okay. We kind of have, you know, what kinds of cherry blossoms are there, where, you know, when do they bloom, where is popular to go see, why do Japanese like cherry blossoms? So I think we've covered this and most all of you know that. So let's go to the koinobori question. And koinobori, what is koinobori?
Koinobori are cup-shaped streamers. or cut wheat stalks.
Okay.
Flown outside.
Which are flown?
Which are flown outside on high up on the tall pole. Mm-hmm. Around May 5th, which is Children's Day or Boys' Day. And cities like Tokyo, there's no enough space to...
In cities like Tokyo. There is not enough
space. There's not enough space to put up big cup-shaped streamers.
Okay.
So people set up just a miniature cup streamers set up in a terrace or apartment of a terrace, a terrace of apartment or small, somehow attached to the window.
Okay.
So, but cup symbolizes strength and courage.
Strength and courage.
Based on the I think Chinese legend that the only strong cup swam up the fall became a dragon. It's kind of a coin of Takinobori. You know, so I think, and that's about what the coin of is.
Right, but so this carp swam up the waterfall and through the dragon's gate and became a dragon.
Yeah.
Right, so it's a symbol of courage and what is it, bravery?
Bravery.
Strength. Right, okay. Did you say something? I can't remember. Do you have an answer written there?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah,
yes.
Kind of. You said, I forget, you said something. Well, yeah.
Miniature?
No, it was a grammar.
Space, grammar?
Yeah.
Shifted. Flown on the top pole around Memphis.
Yeah, after that.
After that. Cubs symbolize the courage and strength based on the legend.
Ah, yes. It's the famous legend word. People have trouble with this, the pronunciation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it's, but I've always mentioned this, but people have a lot of trouble with the pronunciations. Legend, which the accent comes on the le, so it's legend. And I tell people, if you're having trouble, don't say it. Just story. Folktale.
Folktale.
Yeah, there's an old Chinese story. So, again, part of the, you know, the guide test is saying words that you can say nicely. And, you know, 99% of students have trouble with legend. The jende, because there's a car. And so it's just, I don't know why it's such a difficult word for people to pronounce. And even you, you're beautiful and you have pronunciation. You're talking about legend. Can you say it?
Legend.
And you?
Legend.
Good. If you say it with an accent on the legend, it comes out. But I don't know why. Are they in school, they teach you legend? Because 99% of my students got the old Chinese legend, and it just doesn't come out correctly. So legend sounds fine, but not legend. So it's not here, it's on the L. Or you could just say folktale. Okay? So, you know, use words that make your pronunciation sound better, because, you know, there's no need to, you don't have to say this, you can say another word if it's easier for you to say for the guide test. Okay? Good. What is koinobori?
Koinobori is a cloth streamers in the shape of cup, which is flown on the top of the pole on May 5th. Originally, it was called Boys' Day, but now as Children's Day, and this is a symbol for the parents to wish for their boys and children to grow as courageous and strong as the cup. Mm-hmm. And the typical combination of the koinobori cup streamers are from the top on the pole down, five-color windowsock, black, red, blue cup swimmers. And the other three cups represent father, mother, boy. And if the family has more boys, another color like green or purple, orange, small cup swimmers are added. And the top one, five color windstock, is said to be representing for protection against the bad evils, evil gods or evil spirits.
Okay, I was going to ask how many koinobori do people fly, but I've been told that some people just say three, and then some people say one for each boy child or something. Okay, but I was confused. Can you tell me how many, what do they fly? You have a top one is?
Top one is for protection against bad evil.
Does it look like a koi? Does it look like a card?
There are several types of one. The typical one is the five different color window sock type.
Mm.
But the other one is some type of dragon.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard, I don't know, but I can't remember, but I've heard one of them is a dragon, the one that looks like an octopus, right? It's not really a carp, it's just like streamers. It looks to me like an octopus, and that's supposed to represent the dragon. Okay. Is there two like that? Just one?
One.
Like dragon?
Like, yeah, dragon or octopus type.
Yeah, okay.
At the top.
Right.
And then black beak as a father, red as a mother, and blue for a boy.
The boy, right. And then extra colors if they have more there. Okay, good. What is koinobori?
Yes. Koinobori are cloth streamers in the shape of cup from on a tadpole on May 5th. Originally called Boys' Day, but now called Children's Day. A cup symbolizes the success in business and courage, which are based from Chinese legend. And people wish boys in the family will grow up with courage and bravery. And today, with the program of residential program, we can see in koinobori in metropolitan areas only on the veranda, but in rural area, we can still enjoy the figure of flying high up above the roof.
Okay, say that last part again.
Today?
Yes, okay, and it's a rural problem. Probably the cities are crowded or there's not much room in the city is maybe the easier way to say.
Yes, okay, today, due to the residential problem.
Okay. I wouldn't say residential problem. Sound like there's a problem with the house.
Housing problem.
Well, probably there's no room because of the crowding of in the city. I don't know, residential problem. It sounds like a social problem.
Okay.
So probably due to the lack of room, lack of space in the city.
Today, due to lack of the space in cities, koinobori in the cities are very small, flung on the verandas.
Okay.
But in the rural areas, we can see the great koinobori flying high up above the roof, which is splendid.
Okay, so high above the roofs.
High up the roofs.
High above the roof.
High above the roofs.
Yes, okay, and this time you said rural areas, right? Okay.
Rural areas.
Good. Okay, what is koinobori?
Koinobori is a cross streamer in the shape of a cup.
Did you say cloth that streamer?
Cloth streamer in the shape of a cup. People usually hang up Koinobori on May 5th, Children's Day. And Children's Day is a day to celebrate the growth of children. And a cup symbolizes strength because in ancient Chinese story, a cup climbed up the waterfall, became a dragon. So the people hang up cup streamers in hopes that their children would become as strong as a cup.
Right. Okay, good. So be careful of cloth streamers. If it's difficult to say or pronounce, it's really not a necessary word, Koinobori are streamers in the shape of carp. Yeah. But with a TH. Because why? It's the same thing as furoshiki. It's a folding cross. You have to be careful because there's an English word CROSS, which is cross, and I a lot of times hear like CLOTH, cloth, like fabric, pronounced cross, right? It's a wrapping cross. I go, wrapping cross, no. It has to be good pronunciation, wrapping cloth. So the same here, it's a cloth streamers. So, good. Okay. All right, I think we take a break about now, and we'll finish the rest of the questions later.